Well, good morning, y'all. I am here to officially declare the end of this marathon series today that we have been entitling The Story of the Bible, where we have been walking through the Bible kind of as a broad overview, really as a way to try to help everybody to connect the dots and see how it all fits together. You may remember that I started this series by asking y'all a question 16 weeks ago or something. What are your beliefs based on? Like when you look into your heart and you look at your faith, like what is that based on? And the hope is that we were able to move you from a foundationless faith that is based on nothing more than just your gut or what in your head makes sense versus a faith that is actually based in what we believe is the most reliable source of truth that we know to be true about God and spirituality and the afterlife, and that is the Bible. That as a result of better understanding the Bible, then we could set up for ourselves this what we call the systematic theology, which is the framework of the main tenets of the Christian faith, where you understand from beginning to end the story of the Bible and the Christian faith and how it all fits together, and that's what drives and shapes everything about your life. That our faith begins with those first four words of the Bible found in the book of Genesis, in the beginning God, and then spans all the way to the end to the final promise of the Bible is found in the book of Revelation when Jesus says, yes, I am coming back soon. So do you believe it? Are these the beliefs that the foundation of your life is built on? From beginning to end, the story of the Bible gives us the hope and the strength that we need to make it to the end of the journey with our faith left intact. And so today, I just want to spend some time just kind of doing a quick wrap up and say, where do we go from here? Like, how do we do that? How do we kind of look at those people that we've encountered in the pages of the Bible who have made it to the end with their faith? How do we do that? And how do we finish well? Well, we have seen throughout the story of the Bible the generations of people who have gone on before us. And they're just everyday people like you and me. People who lived and died. Some lived brilliantly, some flamed out. But through it all, they all pursued God in their own flawed and very human way. And I think the one thing that I've learned through the years as I have grown in the Christian life is that the Christian life is not like clean and neat. Most of the time, it's pretty messy and difficult. In fact, I would go as far as to say, at least in my experience, that it is very seldom easy. And I'm pretty sure that's why Jesus says, narrow is the path that it takes to lead to, that leads to him, and very few find it, because I think there are so many of us who along the way stumble and fall off the path if we ever make it onto the path at all. And Jesus never promised that following him would ever be easy. In fact, I mean, we've seen all throughout the story of the Bible how the scriptures talk way more about the pain and temptation, the hardships, and the suffering of those who have made a decision to follow Jesus than it ever does attempting to paint some picture of the Christian life where we're just kind of coasting down easy street and everything's all good all the time. And yet, so many of us, I think, have that kind of expectation that if we become a Christian, that that should fix everything that haunts me, that ails me, right? And that we should always have this kind of, if we become a Christian, to always have this kind of nice spiritual growth that goes in a straight line, always going up, almost like straight up to heaven, so to speak. It would be nice if it were that black and white. But the truth of the matter is that the Christian life is not predictable. Because many times we get outside of that kind of spiritual high, and there are those moments in our life where our life just takes a downturn and we actually have to bottom out almost before we can actually come back and grow and start again. And so there's a lot of times when we move forward, but then there are even more times when we get pushed back. There's a lot of times where we just get knocked down on our rear end. There are times when we feel like we are so close to heaven that you could just reach out and touch the face of God. And then there are other times when the bottoms of our feet are burning so bad because it feels like we're trudging through the sands of the desert and we are just worn and tired. But I would argue that those desert times are very much a part of the Christian life. You may not feel the presence of God in those times. You may not feel very Christian-like in those times, but that doesn't mean that you won't grow through it. The Apostle Paul, who knew a little something about going through hard times, put it like this in Philippians chapter 1, he says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." What he's really referring to there is this biblical idea called sanctification, which is another way of saying that the Christian life is a process of ups and downs and twists and turns, but through it all, God continues to work in you and make you into the person he created you to be. When we allow God into our lives, we all start out at different places, right? I mean, we're all at different stages of life. We see that in our own baptism services. We have people from all walks of life coming in and starting in their relationship with God. We all have our unique baggage that we bring in, and we have our own unique life experiences that we've had. Some of us have been to hell and back and have endured just this incredible past, and we have to go through a time of healing before we could even begin to think about anything growing forward. But no matter who you are, no matter what you have gone through in your life, when God takes over, he levels the playing field and says, "Now you're mine. And now, anything is possible. I would like you to allow me to do the work that it takes to make you into the person I created you from the beginning of time to be." It doesn't matter where we start out. It matters how we end. God will create in you something that you could have never imagined possible. And so sanctification is the word that is used to describe the journey that begins after we take that first step on the narrow dirt path that leads to Jesus. It's the what happens next when you decide to follow Jesus. Simply put, it's change that happens continually and slowly over time from the point that we decide to become a Christian to the point that we leave this world. God is continually working in us, perfecting us, so that we're constantly moving toward becoming more like Jesus. It's a process. It's It's a very, very slow process. And so by that definition, you can never really use the word sanctification in the past tense because about anybody, because there is no one that is truly sanctified this side of heaven. Because as long as you have breath in your lungs, God isn't through with you yet. What a lot of churches want you to believe is that the day that you decide to follow Jesus is the day that you stop sinning, or the day you should stop feeling depressed, or the day that you stop carrying out all of those bad habits, and that miraculously everything's going to be all good all the time from this point forward, and you should surely prosper. And if you don't, it's your own fault, it's your own lack of faith. And I'm just telling you, that couldn't be further from the truth. The dirty little secret of the Christian life is the day that you decide to follow Jesus, that's when the real work of your life begins. It's the day that you stop living all checked out, just mindlessly going through the motions day in, day out of the daily grind. It's the day that you become aware that God is calling you to live out a life of purpose and intentionality, which is a whole lot of work. It's the day when you realize that there is a whole lot more inside of me than I thought that needs to change. And I got a little work to do. Throughout the story of the Bible, we have seen God taking some ordinary, messed up people like a Moses or an Abraham or a Paul. And God did his thing in them and then allowed them to do extraordinary things. And the same can be true about us. While we may never part the Red Sea or be an author of some books of the Bible, God promises us that if we allow him, he will continue to work in us and shape us into the people he created us to become so that we can do things that go way beyond what we even imagine possible. Like when you imagine what you can do in your life, God empowers you to do so much more than what you could even fathom. But like those who have gone on before us, there will be moments in our lives where we just hit a wall. There's going to be times when we just hit that desert time and you ain't feeling it anymore. You don't feel like praying or singing or going to church. And you go, how did I get here? Because it just wasn't that long ago that I felt so close to God, and now I just feel so empty. It's in those moments that there's only one thing that we can do, and that's just to hold on. In the Gospel of John, Jesus puts it like this: I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, where there is a lot jammed up in these verses, I just want to focus in on one word this morning from this verse, and that is that word remain. Jesus promises that if we remain in him, then he will also remain in us. The idea there is that if we stay connected to Jesus, that he will stay connected to us. But notice, though, that he puts the onus on us, right? If we remain in him, then he will remain in us. So how do we do that? How do we remain in him? When you go back to that word as it's used in the original language that the New Testament was written in, that word has the idea to stand against opposition, to stay put and endure, or to hold on. And that's just how I view life. that we've got to have the ability to rise up and overcome whatever it is that comes against us and tries to drag us away from our faith. That in the times that are tough and the hard times, there are things that we don't want to walk through that you have to walk through to get to the other side, and God will give us the strength to be able to do that. And then finally, we just have to hold on in those times when it feels like we can't go on. I'm just telling you, for the most part, for most of us, the Christian life, there is no like big wow factor, right? There's no like miracles happening, no big wave of emotion that comes over us all the time and just causes us to grow all the time. There is no magical 1-2-3 formula. It's just plain old walking every day in Jesus. Every single day. Day in and day out. Standing firm. Filling our lives with the stuff of God. The key to spiritual growth, I believe, is creating a faith that moves us from beyond a faith that's just about the Sunday morning experience into a faith that drives us in everything that we do every single day. I believe that 90% of the Christian life is really about filling our lives up with the right stuff. And I would suggest to you that if you feel like your faith is lacking, if you feel like your faith is dead and you feel empty, then I would just encourage you to disrupt yourself and to do something that takes you out of your comfort zone as a way to help reboot your faith right now. For some of us, it's doing something crazy like joining a small group. I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? You get together with a small group of people and you talk about the Bible and God, and you never thought that that would happen, right? But the whole idea of that is that you're in with a group of people who are just like you. They're just as messed up as you. And it's a way to talk about how we share the same struggles and temptations and talk honestly about the struggles that we have in our faith. For others of us, it is about showing up to church on Sunday mornings and making that a priority. And that's not because we keep attendance or because you're going to go to hell if you don't go to church. The whole idea is that we need that weekly connection. Like, that's the reason why the church was created, so that we can come together in a community and we can worship and we can listen and we can be inspired. And as a result of that, we can make it through Monday to Friday the following week. Like, that connection is really important. It's also about showing up in the offering time, understanding that every time we put something in that offering bag, it stretches our faith because we're letting go of another little piece of this world all the time. Or serving so that you can get involved and make a difference in somebody's life and get our focus off of us and to begin to serve others. All of those things I just mentioned, for me, those are the easy things because that's about doing. I can do things. The hard part for me in the Christian faith is those things that require me to just be. I'm like way too hyper for that. So showing up in the pages of the Bible and sitting down and really meditating on the Word of God, that's difficult for me. Showing up in prayer and really being thoughtful about spending some time connecting with God in meditation through prayer, that's tough for me. I don't know about you, but the be still and know that I am God part, that is the tough part of the Christian life for me, for sure. The biggest part of remaining in Him is to empty ourselves out of all the meaningless stuff that we fill our lives up with, and then to then fill our lives up with the stuff of God that has real meaning. To move from a life of just being busy all the time, where our calendar is full all the time, to a life that is focused and purposeful and intentional. I have to tell you, I face this in my own life where I have to constantly work to keep all of the junk of life, the stuff that shouldn't be there, out so that I can keep the stuff of God in. And believe it or not, the competition for everything that wants to be in your life is amazingly, like, there are things that just want to be at the center of your life all the time and just distract you and pull you away from your faith. It's overwhelming. But it's only when we remain in Him that He remains in us and that He has any kind of an opportunity to do what He does in us, to change us, to make us into the incredible people that He wants us to become. Through my 54-ish years that I've lived now, I've learned a thing or two about traveling the narrow dirt path that leads to Jesus. I've learned that it's not an easy road, but I've also learned it's very easy to lose your way. I've learned that it's very difficult to remain in Him during those hard times, but if I do, when I feel tired and ready to give up, if I can stay and hold on, that He will give me the strength that I need to finish the journey. We have this promise that if we can hold on to the very end, that He who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the very end. And so slowly over time, He changes us into this person who is slowly becoming more like Jesus. So that on that day, we can stand before Him sanctified. Two paths diverged in my life. And I chose the tough one. And I don't regret it a bit. I chose the one that I pray every day will help to change me into the person that God wants me to become more like Jesus every single day until one day I can stand there fully sanctified.